Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
Have you ever been? Have you ever participated? Have you ever was anxious to see a parade? Anybody here doesn't like to see a parade? Wow, not a single hand to show the. Looks like nobody likes parades here. I don't know how many of you, even if you have ever been the Rose Parade. We didn't have, I don't think we had last year, the beginning of this year. But it is phenomenal, all the things they do with flowers, the arrangements and everything else. In Brazil, this part of the year, they have a carnival. And they have all those special allegoric cars, you know, going through the streets, and people pay a lot of money just to sit there and see all those artistic, very wonderful things pass by. Brother Joseph was talking about here, almost like a parade. If you look this chapter, and question after question about creation, about the water, the clouds, and he keeps going on and on, details after detail. It's just like a parade before your eyes. It says, can you really understand this? Where this comes from? Why does this exist? So today, I'd like to read this version, which is the Common English Bible version of the same verse. I'll tell you why I chose this version. Preach the word. And some version says, preach the gospel. And the gospel, sometimes for some people, they think only about the four gospels. So instead of understanding the meaning gospel, preach the good news, preach about salvation, people have a tendency to think about those books. That's why I chose this, because it says, preach the word, which is the whole Bible. Salvation is from Genesis to Revelation. And so that's the gospel. When you hear the gospel, don't allow yourself to be influenced by all the denominations who think that the gospel is only the four books, the first four books of the New Testament. And when the Bible says about gospel, salvation is being preached from chapter 1 of Genesis all the way to the chapter 22 in Revelation. So please preach the word. Be ready. The intent for you to preach. Can you preach if you are not ready? And Brother Joseph, once again, is very good for you to motivate the children to realize it's important to have the word. I know that I do something here that it is part of my fault. During the service, I give you this wonderful convenience. I put all this the text on the screen. And then you sit there and relax. And you relax so much that sometimes you may take a nap. So it is important for you to look at the screen, but take your Bible and check, because you see, if you see something twice, you have twice as much a chance to remember. If you see something only once, if you don't remember anymore, it's because that's how our minds are. The more chances you give to your mind, the better chance that you'll be able to remember. And believe me, to remember the words of life, it is very vital for us all. It says, be ready to do it, whether it is convenient or inconvenient. And that's why I like this particular version. Because sometimes we do not speak about our faith because it's not convenient. We feel uncomfortable. And so it says, do it if it's convenient or inconvenient. Correct people. Of course, you need to do it in a gentle way, because you are not supposed to be their parents, but you're supposed to be a messenger in their behalf. Confront them. The confront here in a good sense. The word confront means to be in front of them, not to fight them. Okay, so please do not understand that a confront means to fight them. No, to be in front of them. Stand before them, and then encourage with patience, and then with instruction. This text has a lot to do with the entire message we have for you this morning. Yes, it is a happy Sabbath. Why? Because it is Abba's Day. All right? Now, I know that some of you do have the bulletin with you. Okay? Have you noticed something different about this picture? There's something unique about this picture. Have you paid attention to the detail? The faces. Look at the faces and look very carefully at the picture. What did you see in this picture? There's two messages in this picture, and both are related. And both has to do with the title for the message this morning. Look close to the head of Jesus Christ. What do you see in the background? This is the first coming and the second coming in one picture. All right? Both is through the gates of Jerusalem. One through the gates of the old Jerusalem, and then the other one will be through the gates of the new Jerusalem. So this is what we try to do, so that I was wondering, so I'm going to say, I put this in the bulletin to see if somebody sees. All right? So we put this because, as you know, Jesus entered Jerusalem on this occasion. It was just after he was arrested and then crucified. And then also he entered symbolizing that he was the son of David. And he entered as an anointed king. That's his entrance in Jerusalem at that time. And he was being pulled by Peter. He was pulling the animal as he goes. And the people came and called him Hosanna, Hosanna, the son of David, the king. And they put their clothes on the floor and palm trees, all celebrating like he was their king. And sadly, later on, when he was crucified, they make a mockery of that. They put a sign saying that he was the king of the Jews. Before the parade, be prepared. Do you get prepared when you go in a trip? Or you just throw things in the car and take off and says, we'll figure it out when we get there. Yes. The idea of being prepared seems to surface time after time in our daily lives. We constantly hear that word and think about that word. But the question is, how disciplined are we when we have to do a project? When a health or a financial crisis come in our way, and they do come, sooner or later they will come, and it says, we wonder if we had enough insurance or resources to carry us from that situation. The question is, we ask ourselves, am I prepared? You have a house, if you purchase a house, and by the way, I always say this, many people here in the United States and probably around the world, when they say, oh, I purchased a house. If I ask you of you here, how many of you have owned a home? Probably quite a few of you will raise your hand. And I like to say to you, actually none of us own any homes. We just pay rent. And I'll tell you why. And I'm not going to take too much time on this, but I would like just for you to see how sometimes we have this vain idea, concept to say that we own things. If you don't pay the property tax in your house, even if you already paid off the mortgage, the real owner of the house will come knocking. And if you take too long, they will bring with the police to push you out of their home. Oh, but what about a car? We purchased the car we think is ours. Try to drive that car without a sticker of the owner of the really who owns your car. Try to drive your car without insurance, and then the owner of your car will say, no, no, no. And I can go on and on with the list. Why am I sharing this? Because sometimes we take steps to think that we are prepared. We pay our insurance, we pay our mortgage, we do this, and we think that, by doing all those things, we avoid crisis, that they will not come. Yes, they come. If you are prepared or not, they come. They come, and sometimes some people become very scared when they say, oops, I forgot. Young ones, I want you to pay attention to the screen and look what it says there. We prepare for exam. Do you? I hope you do, because your grades will reflect if you have or not, right? And what happens when you are not prepared and you go to take an exam? I have taught before as a teacher. I have worked as a teacher, and I could tell. When the day where I gave an exam in the class, I could tell in 10 seconds in my class who were prepared for the exam and who were not. All the body language, you could see the way they move, and they look here, and sometimes they get the exam, and they look at the exam like something from another planet. And they start looking, searching for the answers on the sky or someplace. You can tell that they have not been prepared. We have a lot of exams in life, many different types of exams. And all of them, we need to be concerned about the word to prepare, to be prepared. I mentioned already the vacation. We have seen people that are, when they plan a vacation, they are displaying a disaster. Instead of vacation, it becomes a nightmare. They go on vacation. When they come back, they need more rest than they before they left because they didn't prepare for it. It's one disaster after the other. What about a trip? Sometimes get in a car and they have no idea where they're going. They have a slight thing in their mind, but they don't plan well. What about a job? Imagine when you get hired to do a particular job, and then you claim in your resume, you claim that you know this, you know that, and when you sit in that chair and it comes the first thing, the first project, and you have no clue. And pretty soon you receive a little note telling you, I'm sorry, but we'd like to inform you that you know the rest if you're not prepared. We discover the need to be prepared in so many places in our lives as we make plans for the future. And sadly, many people do not know what the word preparation really stands for. So, Benjamin Franklin said this, by failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. It's a sure thing. If you don't put time to be prepared, you will spend more time because you're not prepared. Sometimes people don't try to save time not to prepare, and they realize that they have to invest more time to figure it out. The Bible, Proverbs 6, but also other, it talks about the ant and tells the lazy one, says, you know what, learn from the ants. Here it says a lesson on preparation from the ants. It says, the ants are a people not strong. In other words, in some verses, they are not the strongest among the animals. Believe me, I see some ants carrying a leaf that is sometimes 4 or 5 times heavier than them, and they care. That looks like no problem. So I think they are strong a lot. If you imagine their size in proportion, it says, yet they prepare their food in the summer. And when the winter comes, there's nothing out there for them to eat. Oh, in their place, they have enough for them and for the entire family. Yes, you can see them going back and forth day and night. Work day and night without stopping. But when comes the winter, they are safe. They are not starved starving. Now you see this individual running. Yes, are you prepared to arrive safely and well to your destination? Are you prepared? Here's the look of a prepared person. And here's the look of unprepared person. That's what happens. It changes from one thing to the other. Depends on that only that you end before the word prepared. Now, preparation. Let me tell you, what is the spiritual meaning for preparation? Because preparation can mean many different aspects. Girls, I want you to watch here too, okay? To be spiritually prepared is to strengthen the foundation of our divine biblical beliefs and moral values. People that assess that they are Christians, if they do not have a foundation on the moral values that we find in the scriptures, they are not really prepared. There are a lot of people that call themselves Christians, and yet they are not properly prepared. They are not willing. Now, here's the definition. Most of us know that that comes from Greek. That means before. Okay, before. Then there is para. Okay, para has many different meanings. I chose one meaning for this particular title. A parade means a movement, a group of people that are, as they walk, before they walk, before you go. And, of course, the last part, it has to do with action. And that means, what act do you do before you walk or before you parade? Before you move. So, preparation is what you do before you actually have to move. That's what preparation is. And so, I have before in the screen a road. And then I says, before a parade, is that's what preparation is all about. Now, here is what the Bible says in Malachi, 500 years before Christ came. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, in whom we delight. This is it says again, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts, the Almighty One, Malachi 3, verse 1. That's the New King James Version. Now, as you see this text, I want you to think about a few years, 500 years later, Jesus will come. He's talking about Jesus' first coming. But it's also a reference to the Jesus' second coming as well. So, if it is with reference to the second coming, who do you think my messenger is? And the first one, we know that it's talking about John, the baptizer. By the way, he was not a Baptist. He was, and he still is, a Seventh-day Adventist waiting for the resurrection, okay? So let's make that sure that you understand that he was a Seventh-day Adventist, and he's still a Seventh-day Adventist until Jesus Christ comes. And so he says, behold, I send a messenger. Who is this messenger? We are a messenger. So when we continue to talk about John, I want you to remember that symbolically, the remnant is the one who's supposed to prepare the way before the parade, the last parade. John took care of his obligation to fulfill the first coming of Christ. But the remnant is the messenger that has to deliver, has to prepare. Remember the text which says you have to teach the word. You have to live according to the word with patience. That is the mission of the remnant as well. So continue. My messenger, his birth was a miracle. So is of the remnant. When you see the powers that try the Bible prophecy says clearly, for 1,260 years, this power will try to destroy the remnant. And they almost did. And so the birth of the remnant, the remain of the fact that the remnant is still alive, it is a miracle itself. His message and ministry to prepare the way of the Lord, it is still the same message of the messenger, the remnant as well. Here I have the picture of the parents of John, Zechariah and Elizabeth. It says, when Herod was king of Judea, this talk about Herod the Great, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah. Now, David divided all the priests in 24 groups. And every group served the sanctuary for 2 weeks. And so that's what it means, the priest order of Abijah. It says, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priest line of Aaron. And then it continues, Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes. By the way, I don't know how it can be any different if you are a priest, if you are a pastor. You have to have a life. Oh no, that's not only pastors. It's all of us, right? Yeah. It doesn't apply only to the priest. For a moment you were, he's talking. No, all of us. Because we are all the priesthood of God. The Bible says we all are. Okay? Careful to obey all the commandments of God and regulations. Very typical of the remnant. The Bible says clearly, here are those that keep the commandments of God and have the witness and all the testimony of Jesus Christ. So very much alike. An angel appeared to him one day when he was serving in the temple and said to him, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, because he asked for a child. And your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you shall call him John. Now, Elizabeth was already old. And it was not possible, physically speaking, not possible anymore. But just in the case of Isaac, God performed a miracle to show clearly that this was an act of God. Not like all the disasters out there that they blame God for it. This was clearly an act of God, a gift from God. And the name John, I will give later on the meaning. You see clearly why God chose John. God chose that name. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. Nothing that will affect his mind. By the way, applies to all of us. This health instruction applies to all of us, because he will also be filled with the Holy Spirit. They call alcoholic spirits. So remember, it says, not that kind of spirit. This kind of spirit. A Holy Spirit. Even from his mother's womb. And so, Zechariah, and the angel answered and said to Zechariah, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you this great tidings, this great news. Imagine somebody sent to the from the throne of the Almighty just to speak to you. Wow, what awesome privilege. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak. That's tough for a priest. How can you conduct your work when you cannot speak? Because you did not believe. That's why you are mute now. And you'll be mute until the day when your child is born. And so everybody came and talked to him, and he said, he couldn't speak. And he tried, but he couldn't speak. And then the child was born. You can imagine how everyone knew that this was evident, a miracle. And then they ask him, what is the name of the child? What it will be? And he says, bring me a tablet. Not the one that we have, not Apple or, you know, a tablet. And they brought to him something like this. And with the chalk he wrote, his name is John. Yes, John. Which means, the meaning of John, Yah is gracious. Also, Yah has been gracious, or can be also a gift from God. So this is God's gift, Yahweh's gift. And that was a way. Now we know that he grew and he lived in the desert and he preached. It was predicted, the voice of one cry in the wilderness. It says Isaiah many, many centuries before, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert highway for our God. That is the mission of you and I as well as the remnant church. Yes, before the great parade is coming, we need to prepare the way for the Lord to come. It is our responsibility, as was John, is also ours. His message was clear. He called for repentance. Same thing that we as believing Christ should do. Every time we see somebody in sin, we must call them to repentance. Sadly, sometimes today, many religions, many churches become like a club. Many people go to church to be entertained, not to be changed. And that is sad because that was not the way God called us. We are not called just to watch the parade. We are called to prepare for the parade to go well. We are supposed to do a proclamation, the coming of the kingdom of heaven. He was constantly preaching about the second coming. In his case, the first coming. In our case, the second coming, which is basically the same thing, the coming of the Lord. And then he says, in other Gospels, it says, instead of a kingdom of heaven, it says, the kingdom of God. This was his message. His mission, which is the same as ours, prepare the way for the Lord. We are asked to preach the last three gospel message, the three angels message. And what is this? Clearly emphasizing, God is the creator, Abba. I have one person who says, Pastor, don't you get tired of mentioning Abba all the time? How can I? It's just like saying, don't you get tired of mentioning it every time somebody asks your name, what's your name? Oh, by the way, I got tired to say that I'm Cleveland, so I'm going to say I am and make up a name, right? Peter. From now on, tell your kids and tell your wife, from now on, I got tired of being called Cleveland for so long. So I want to be called something else now. Yeah, there are people out there that behave like that, believe me. They are tired of being men, they become something else. And there are people that just make up their mind and decide to be something else. And they expect everybody else just to go along. To prepare the way of the Lord is our mission, as well was his mission, to make his path straight. What it means to make path straight? Because it's easy for people to navigate, because when you get in a road that goes like this and has so many, you can get lost. But if the path is straight, that means it's guaranteed that the person will arrive safely without being tricked. Because a crook path also had a place where bandits, thieves could hide and attack you, but when it was a path that was straight, was much safer. In this case, it was intense. As the angel told Zechariah, his son, John, was to make ready a people to prepare for the Lord to come. And that is your mission. You are John. Today you are John. You are a gift of God. And when you share the truth with somebody, you share that gift of eternal life with somebody else. So you are called to be gracious, to be a gift of God. His challenge was, he expected true repentance, and he really spoke about it. He expected compassion. He expected honest business dealings. He expected fair treatment, contentment with one's wages. He told the soldiers, you know, the soldiers, because sometimes the soldiers, the Roman soldiers, they would do things in order to get bribe from the people. And so he told them, be satisfied with your wages. And by the way, the word soldier comes from wages. That's it, basically what it is. He told them not to trust in their own heritage. Many people say, I have a blood of Abraham, and that's enough. I have heard that of people from Seventh-day Adventist. People say, my father's father was a Seventh-day Adventist. My father was Seventh-day Adventist. I am Seventh-day Adventist. My children are Seventh-day Adventist. We are fifth generation. We are tenth generation of Seventh-day Adventist. It looks like that title itself will gonna get them to heaven. No, it doesn't happen that way. Salvation is individual. It's wonderful that you have so many people in your family that were Seventh-day Adventist. That means that you have a less excuse not to be prepared. So be careful what you claim, because maybe what you're claiming may be a bigger responsibility for you. And 6 says, he warned, the time of judgment is near. Yes, brothers, have been near, and we need to let the world know it's not time for us to fall asleep anymore. We need to be constantly aware of what is happening in our world today. Not only today, but as into the end comes. The scripture that we read today, I like to emphasize again, even if it's convenient or inconvenient, you must correct, you must confront in a good sense, you must encourage with patience and with instruction. That is the mission. That's how we prepare for the parade that is coming. That's how we invite others to be part of that parade when Jesus Christ comes. His promise, one mightier than he is coming. He told, I'm not here. I'm just a servant. And we are, brothers and sisters, we are just the servants. We are the remnant, but we are not such a so special that we should be thinking about us only. Remember, that's the mistake the Jewish people did. They were chosen to preach the gospel, to do exactly what we are asked to do as the remnant church. But instead, they said, we are better than anybody else. Everybody there over there is worth nothing. I am better. God chose us only. That's not what the Bible says. God chose them to be the priests, to preach the word, to do exactly what we are talking about. That is our function, our mission at this moment. Sometimes I point to the computer, but I should point there because that's what you see. He, Jesus, was coming to baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire, whose work would be to separate the wheat from the chaff. And now separate, to make a distinction. Some churches today, they don't practice discipline, they don't teach what is right or wrong, they just want the people to be there. And that's not really the function of the remnant. His success, it says, people from Jerusalem and from all Judea and from every part, they came to him. They came to him because he had a message. If we as a remnant have a conviction and preach the gospel, people will come. Those that are seeking will come. They were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins to start a new life. Yes, they came. They came from everywhere. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, it says, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And that's a prophetic about Jesus' ministry as well as the remnant. But you know what happens when you talk about the truth? You get people mad. And there was one man that was living in adultery. And when John decided to say what he is doing is bad, he sent his soldiers to pick him up. And they arrested him. And they took him. And when they took him and they put him in prison, he had a sense that that was it for him. So he said this, he must increase, referring to Jesus Christ, but I must fade away. Basically what that he means. Because I'm here because of him. My mission is to show him. Now that you know him, my job is done. And I sense that I'll be fading away. And that's exactly what happened. Yes, this very mean fellow here. By the way, if you go online, you find many different faces for him. All of them are mean. So I chose this one here because this one, he says, yes, me. You know, Harold Antipas. Salome, you know who, have you heard who Salome was? It was his niece. He stole the wife of his own brother. He was living in adultery with his in-law. And what happened is that she didn't like either what it was. Who is this John that dares to even mention my name, criticize me for what I am in power, I do whatever I want. And today, in our days, today is not any different. Everybody who is in power sometimes, they think they have power to do whatever they want. And it was not different that day. And by the way, it's going to be worse in the last days. The days that are reserved for us as a remnant to testify. So will come a time, and the time is already here, when there are things happening in our world that pastors are not talking about in the pulpit anymore because it is too dangerous to talk about sometimes. Caesar is telling you how to define marriage, and if you're not careful the way you speak, you may be exposed to ridicule and all, any other circumstances as well. Intimidation. We live in a society today that anybody who stands for what is right are timid to do so. Why? Because there is intimidation. Or you do the way we want, or you're out of the picture. It was the same thing. And it cost his life because this young lady was told by, imagine what kind of mother is that? Told her to dress very provocatively, you know, in other words, with few clothes as possible. Go and dance before him when he's very drunk. And then when he asks you, what do you want? You tell him, I want this. And she said, I want this John dead. And I want his head on a plate. It's one of the most cruel things that we can read in the Bible. That a mother will put her daughter to do such thing. It's almost like saying, forgive me, I'm going to go straight to the point. It's like basically, she gave her daughter to the devil. It was like an act of clear worship to the devil. She used her daughter to commit murder. Jesus talking about John and you and I, he says, I tell the truth, of all who have lived, none is greater than John the baptizer. Yet even the least person in the kingdom is greater than he is. Let me quickly explain what this means. You can be as great as you can be in this life. It doesn't matter how great you are in this life. But if you do not make it to the kingdom, you are nobody. Jesus will make a point. He says, great here, but what it counts is being there. And another thing he says also this verse. It doesn't matter how great you are here or how little you are here, but if you make it, we're all going to be equal. That's what he says. Nobody's going to be greater than him or less than him. Those there are. Are you prepared, brothers and sisters? If you are not, what must you do? You are to be prepared. Jesus Christ said, but he answering said to them, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Why? Because you haven't taken time to be prepared. This is what he says for the foolish virgins. And there are quite a few foolish virgins today as well. Churches that are not really being prepared. I hope Vista is not one of them. I want that we know the value of being prepared. I will ask you again, are you prepared? Are you the remnant? Are you the one who is prepared for the parade that is coming? Before you will pass all the angels throughout eternity. It will be a wonderful parade when your guardian angel picks up your hand and takes you to the sky. And we're going to be traveling throughout the sky. And as we pass some planets, people will see, here are the parade of the saints. They are going to Jerusalem. Are you prepared to be part of that parade? Can we count you in? We need people to prepare for that day. We need good hands. We need servants that are willing to prepare for that parade. I want you to be part of that parade. We know that we're running out of time. This is the time for us to prepare, because the parade will take place, if you are prepared or not. It will take place, because everything that my Lord says, it comes. It comes. It comes to its fulfillment. He promised, and he will come. For you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. And here, I put it very big so it will stay in your mind, and I hope you stay for quite a while. It says like this, always. Always what? Always unprepared? No. Always be prepared. Would you say with me? Always be prepared. I will be prepared. Are you going to be prepared? I hope so. As we march to Zion, let's stand and sing together.
Amen.
God.